Hey, praise God. Thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited. Another day to record another podcast, another day to minister the Word of God. I pray that you're as excited as I am. Thank you for continuing to tune in. Thank you for listening. Hope that these messages are encouragement to you. I pray that today you have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive all that the Spirit of the Lord would say to you through this podcast. I've been thinking a lot about just, you know, I tell my wife I really need to get away from the news. About the only news that I really follow is I'm on Twitter, so I've got like Fox News and different news sources, local news sources that I watch. But it just is getting discouraging anymore to watch the news. Every time you turn it on, between the political unrest and all the spewing of hatred that's coming out of Washington, D.C., the backbiting, even really in the local communities that we live in, you just hear so many people, there's just such anger out there. You know, I got to thinking about this the other day. I thought, you know, if I'm having a rough day or I'm not feeling good, or, you know, who do I want around me right now? Because so many people are just so negative. You got these naysayers, you got people telling you, you know, you just need to get over it. You just need to just get moving on. Don't worry about it. You know, you go to doctors and, you know, they want to come up with it's always a negative report. I went to a doctor the other day and I was telling him something. I'm getting to that age where you got to have certain tests done. And the doctor's like, you know, just being negative. Well, you know, you're at a high risk for this and you're at a high risk for that. I was like, man, you haven't even touched me or done any test whatsoever. You know nothing about me and you just want to think the worst about every situation. I said, I am the healed of God in Christ Jesus. I don't need your negativity. Who do you want around you when you know, if you do get sick and if you're dying? I mean, do you want your banker, your stockbroker, your CPA, your boss? Do you want negative people around you? No. Man, we want to be around people that love us. We want to be around people that care about us. We want to be about people that want to encourage us. We want to be around people that have a higher expectation for the greater good of mankind. And that's what I really want to talk to you about today, is it's all about love. See, the Apostle Paul understood some of this. You know, Paul was preaching a message of salvation. He was preaching a message that Jesus sent him to preach. He was traveling around and he would go into different towns and different nations, and he would declare the gospel, and some would receive him and some would mock him, and some he would preach, and then he would leave and he would find out that others would come in and say, well, that's not the truth, and he would write these letters, and it was just the negativity. So I want to share with you today, Paul's writing a letter to the church at Thessalonica. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul writes this and he says, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love toward one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless and holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints." Now again, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church at Thessalonica, and he's praying that he will get this opportunity to come to them soon. He had heard about all the problems that they were dealing with, and he wanted to come and he wanted to love on the people. He wanted to strengthen them and encourage them. But he had been hindered twice from going to Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Therefore he wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us." I believe we're living in a day that we can relate. There are people that are wanting to love. There are people that are wanting to help. Here at Adult and Teen Challenge of the Upper Cumberland, we want to help people. We want to see people's lives changed and transformed. But yet we got Satan. He's out there and he's hindering from doing the work. He's not hindering us per se as much as he's hindering others from coming to us. He is deceiving people and he's tricking people to make them think that they can handle these things on their own. But I'm here to tell you that we need to understand that Christ has come. He's come once and He's coming again. We need to understand that we need to walk in love towards our fellow brother man, to draw them closer, not to us, but to Christ. We need to love people with a fervent pursuit and belief in Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Again, I think we're living in a day where even the love of many within the church have gotten cold towards others. Even in our government, people have grown cold towards others. But this isn't the case for the Thessalonican church. They believed that Christ's return was going to be soon. They even believed that it was going to happen in their day. But over the years, we've lost this regard for the return of Christ. We've lost this hunger for Him coming back. We've lost a hunger to preach the gospel to people and to see them lost, see the lost come to Jesus. We need to have a healthy balance of the things of God. We need to make the things of this world that have become idols in our life, we need to tear those down to the point that we understood our attention needs to be on the things of God and on the people of God. See, the reality is this. You can't tell me that you love God unless you're showing me that you love God's people. It's all about love. John said in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God." God is love. How do you love? How do you act? How do you treat others? See, Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians, he said, "I pray that the Lord would direct my path straight to you so that I can teach you proper love." I'm teaching today because I want to teach proper love because God loves you. See, the church today needs to understand God's love. We live in times where drugs, legislation of abortion, the LGBT agenda, politics, and racism have made the church numb and unloving. Their love has grown cold. Most in the church are praying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly," with no regard to those that do not know Jesus Christ, to no regard to those that, if He came back today, that are lost and would end up going to hell. See, we need to have this greater love for humanity that all would repent. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." When will the end come? When will Jesus return? When we, the church, are preaching the message of the cross, the message of Jesus, the message of love to all humanity. We need to keep preaching and we need to keep loving. Who should you love? Well, 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do." To all. We need to walk in love towards all. As a child of God, the best indicator of spiritual growth is your ever-increasing love towards humanity. Let me say that again. As a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, let your profession be in your love, your ever-increasing love towards one another. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, "He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." See, we need to love other believers regardless of their past. Love looks at the past of a Christian, and all he sees is forgiveness. 1 John 2:12 says, "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." Man, we need to love people regardless of their past. We need to love non-believers regardless of their current situation. We need to love believers regardless of the past, but we need to love non-believers regardless of their current situation and their current sin. See, love deals with the past, but then it changes the future. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 through 8 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not speak its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, when we understand that we are saved from and who saved us, it makes it impossible not to have love for others. Thank God somebody loved me enough to invite me to church and to tell me about Jesus in the midst of my sin. Thank God that Jesus died for me even when I wasn't worth dying for. Thank God that His love covered all of my sin. Why should I not love others? I know there's people out there that are in sin. I know there's people out there that are dirty. I know there are people out there that are struggling. But the reality is they're never going to get clean and they're never going to come to salvation unless we walk in love towards them as we have been loved ourselves. 1 John 3:10-11 says, in this, children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We need to love one another. Remember, it's all about love. I want to share with you real quickly right now four ways in which we need to show love for one another. Number one, we need to forgive. We need to forgive. One of the greatest things we can do, and perhaps the hardest thing we can ever do, is to forgive. Colossians 3:13 says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, even if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Paul says if somebody has a complaint against somebody else or an issue with somebody, we need to forgive as the Lord is forgiven. We need to forgive people. People have done us wrong. I get that, but we need to walk in forgiveness. Notice Paul did not say to forgive only if the complaint is valid. It has nothing to do with whether it's valid or not. We just need to forgive because we've been forgiven. Listen, back when I was lost, if I stood before Jesus and the enemy was sitting there pulling out all of my sins, I was guilty. I was complete, but thank God that He forgave me. Thank God that my sin is forgiven as far as the east is from the west. When we forgive, it doesn't mean that we keep bringing up people's past over and over, but we have to release their past and understand that they've been made right with God. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. See, the word forgive means to release and to let go. We need to forgive. When we forgive, we make it about Jesus. We make it about love, and we don't make it about us. Number two, we need to respect. One of the biggest issues we have in the world and in the body of Christ is lack of respect. We need to respect people not because of the title or authority or lack thereof, but because they are a child of God just as we are. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, it says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. See, Paul says, recognize or respect, in other words, those who labor among you, next to you, those that you run into in the store and those that got your parking spot outside the store. We need to respect people. There are two definitions I want you to listen to about respect. Two definitions for the word respect. Number one is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, and achievements. And I believe that's what the world looks at when they think of respect. Well, they have to earn it. They have to have certain achievements, certain qualities. And even at that, the world still doesn't respect. But I believe as the church, this is the definition we need to look at. The second definition for the word respect is due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. Listen, we may not agree, but that doesn't mean we don't respect. See, it's not about denomination, it's not about belief or unbelief, but about respecting them lovingly because of who you are, not who they are. I show respect because of who I am and who lives in me, not because of who they are. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each one of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others." We need to forgive people. We need to respect people. And number 3, we need to endure. What do you mean endure? Bear one another's burdens. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3 says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." We need to bear with one another in the love of Christ. The word used right here for bear is the word bastazo, which means to take up with hands and to put oneself under to carry. You remember the story about how Jesus was on his way down the Via della Dolorosa. He was carrying his cross to the place of Golgotha, and he fell down, and the Roman soldiers took the cross and they put it under on the top of another man who helped Jesus carry his cross. We need to help others carry their cross. We need to bear one another's burdens, taking it up, carrying the load, being sympathetic, listening to them by caring and by carrying part of the load. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." See, we can lighten the load of someone who is experiencing some great loss or undergoing a great trial if we would just walk in love. See, it's all about love. When we forgive, when we respect, we can help carry the load. And number 4, encourage. As Christians, we need to encourage one another. The Greek word for encourage is the word parakleo, and is a compound word of number 1, coming alongside, para, and to implore, kaleo. So if you encourage someone, you're coming alongside them and you're imploring them to keep on going. You're encouraging them to keep on in the fight. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing." We need to learn to encourage people to keep on keeping on. We need to build them up, strengthen them. To encourage someone is to give someone hope and support. Listen, you can't encourage someone if you're mocking them. But you can encourage people in the Lord if you will strengthen them and let them know what they have to look forward to in Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 says, "That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the fullness assurance and understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both the Father and Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Listen, he says, encourage their hearts. Be knit together with them in love. See, it's all about love. Abound in love to one another and to all just as we do to you. We cannot possibly love one another the way we ought to without the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. But with the Holy Spirit, we can walk in love. We can forgive. We can respect. We can endure. And we can encourage those in the body and even those out of the body. Why should it be about love? Because love is free. Love is free. Love cost God everything, but cost you nothing. So when we F, forgive as you have been forgiven, R, respect as you want to be respected, E, endure with others as others have endured with you, and E, encourage one another in the Lord, we could change the world. Love those in the body of Christ to strengthen, and love those outside of the body so that they would be saved. When we make it all about love, we make it all about Jesus. We need to pray to be more Christ-like, to stay in His Word so that we can encourage and be more encouraging to others. It's all about love, and love is free to give. Father, I pray that you bless each and every one that listened to this message today. Strengthen them with all might according to your glorious power, and help us all to love as we want to be loved, and most importantly, as Christ first loved us. Father, we thank you for these things, and we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you again for listening. Hope you have a great week. In Jesus' name.